All right, what's up, what's up, what's up?
What's good, what's good?
All right, we're gonna get started, man. This is Robert Hockley in the picture there. All right. And this guy's been to prison, I think roughly 7 to 8 years, I think for a robbery charge. And at some point in his life, he decided that he was gonna do something better for his life, make something better for his life. So he became CEO of several companies that I think are apparently going well. And so he's in an interview on the African Diaspora News channel. Shout out to Phil Scott, who did the interview on that African Diaspora News channel. And what I'm going to do is pull up this interview. All right. Yeah, I'm going to pull up this interview and kind of go over some things that he's talking about. All right. And you'll find it very interesting. Then we're going to get some commentary on it. All right. So, of course, this is for the fair use. All right, we'll get to that. But anyway, yeah, we're going to go over this interview, a part of it. We're not going to go through the whole thing. It's just a certain part in regards to what you see on the screen. Have black immigrants infiltrated the prison system? All right. And you'll find this very interesting. Again, like I said, we're going to go over a few things, kind of talk about it a little bit and listen to the interview. You know, stop and go on the video. All right, so y'all know what it is, man. You're rocking with the best thoughts of the week. Let's get it. You're rocking with the best thoughts of the week podcast. So, yeah, let's pull this up real quick. Get this thing going. There we go. All right. And, yeah, I'm going to let you listen to this, and we'll get right back to it in here in a second. All righty. I'll be stopping and going every now and then. So, y'all listen in. Let's check it out.
Say it. But let me ask you a question. While we was off air, you had mentioned something that was very interesting about the immigration. They're immigrating people from the continent to come be prison guards now.
All right. So we're going to be pulling up this article here in a bit. All right. The article you see in this interview, you know, I might go over it a little bit or super brief. And this article, I think, came from from 2015 from the Marshall Project. And just by the title, I guess that must be the website or the title of this website's company, the Marshall Project. That in itself should already clue you in and key you in on what this is really about. The Marshall Project. Nigerians are flocking to work in Texas prisons. The Marshall project, become a marshal in the prison system, in the law enforcement system. All right. So, yeah, let's listen in back to this interview. All right. We go back a little bit here.
Say it. But let me ask you a question. You had, while we was off air, you had mentioned something that was very interesting about the immigration. They're immigrating people from the continent to come be prison guards now.
Okay, so let's speak on that. And what we were saying off topic was, you asked me since I left prison. Mm-hmm. I went in 1995. I got out in 2003.
Right.
This is 2003. It's been 20 years. I celebrated my 20th year, my 20th calendar of being home January 27th, made my 20th year being home. And you asked me, what has changed about prison since the time I was in it? Well, these wicked people, right? They realized that racism couldn't be so blatant, right? And this is what they start doing, right? They implemented a Safe Prison Act because it is white people going to prison, right? And in this time, a white person goes to prison, it's highly likely he's getting took advantage of. What I'm saying is he.
All right, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Let me go back just a little bit because he mentioned the Safe Prison Act, all right? I'm going to pull that up real quick. I'm going to pull up the Safe Prison Act. All righty, let me see here. So let's pull him off for a second. And I'm going to pull up the Safe Prison Act real quick so you guys can see what's going on with that. Let me see something here. I am curious about something now. Hold on. Nope, it's not what I thought. Okay. Let me see here. That is not what I want either. But anyway, we're going to look at this real quick and we'll get back to the video. The Safe Prison Act. All right. Was an act that was passed by both houses of the U.S. Congress and subsequently signed by President George W. Bush in a White House ceremony on September the 4th, 2003. The act aimed to curb prison rape through zero tolerance policy, as well as thorough research and information gathering. All right. So just wanted to give you a little brief on that. So you understand when he gets a little bit into how the prison system has changed. All right. And he mentioned the Safe Prison Act. All right. So let's get back to the interview and listen in.
Be so blatant, right? And this is what they start doing, right? They implemented a Safe Prison Act because it is white people going to prison, right? And in this time, a white person goes to prison, it's highly likely he's getting took advantage of. What I'm saying is he's getting beat, he's getting raped, he's getting everything they done to our people, we do to them. And it's like, well, why would the white guards allow that to happen? Because one thing that white people believe in more than racism is classism. They believe in classism more than they do racism. What do I mean by classism? White people want to make sure they on a higher class than other people. Mm-hmm. That's white, black, or indifferent. You don't hear white people campaigning for the trailer park white people, right? They want to like, hey, I'm of a superior class than you. So when a white person comes into prison, the white officers there sees him as lower class.
All right, I'm gonna stop that right there because that is something I actually know for a fact. All right. Because I actually seen some law enforcement officers refer to, they were white, and they referred to some other, apparently they didn't see themselves as rednecks, but they seen other people who were not police officers, they seen them as rednecks. All right, they had these, they gave these names to them. So kind of what he's saying is has some truth in it, because apparently just by making those statements, it was like they're higher up in the class, because hey, they're rednecks, we white officers ain't rednecks, they are rednecks right there. So there seemed to be some truth to what he's saying. All right, let's continue.
They don't see him as black, but they see him as lower class because he's there. So they allow a lower class white person to be handled by the black people to teach them a lesson. And this will result in murders, rapes, all these different things when I was in prison. Well, when I got out in 2003, white people, the legislative people, wanted to change that. They wanted to fix that. And they started a thing called a Safe Prison Act. And in the Safe Prison Act, they wanted to make sure you were safe when you were sentenced to your time, right? That the white people wasn't took advantage of the way they was probably, right? And so this act eliminated a lot of rapes, eliminated a lot of stabbings, eliminated a lot of the extortions. They put phones in there. They put cameras in there. They put all these preventative methods to stop people from getting took advantage of. You know, you hear the stories of Big Bubba taking your snap, the Fleece Johnson stories, right? They didn't want that going on anymore. And they had the money and the resources to do it. But they didn't want to end the racism, though. Do you understand what I'm saying? They wanted to change the brutality. They wanted to change the overt violence of the system, but they didn't want to end the racism. So what they did was they got rid of all the racist officers, all the racist people that had been there for all those years. All those inmates are institutionalized, so are the officers. They are institutionalized also. So they need to get rid of the institutionalized officers and replace them with a new crop for this new system of covert racism that they're going to begin. And what they did was they started replacing all the racist white officers through an immigration program that brought in Africans. So right now, it's 110 units, right? Almost 1.5 for this new system of covert racism that they're going to begin. And what they did was they started replacing all the racist white officers through an immigration program that brought in Africans.
All right, just taking a quick look at that real fast. All right, Texas lawmakers surprised. This is like a June 15, 2009 article. Texas lawmakers surprised over hiring of non-citizen prison guards on work visas. Do you really think they were surprised, though? They always play, you know, play the role like they were surprised, right? And what's interesting now is that within the last year or so, there's articles talking about allowing Latinos into the law enforcement systems, especially in your maybe your Midwest and in some southern states. So you can obviously see there's a pattern going on about allowing immigrants to be in the law enforcement system. And we already know and understand that many of these immigrants, whether they black immigrants, meaning African or Caribbean from the islands or other parts of the diaspora, that as long as they're not black American, foundational black American people, you have that, you have the Latinos. And like I said, there's a pattern to where they allow them to be in the law enforcement system, prison system, and you know they have no liking at all towards black Americans, foundational black American men, especially up top, and then the people, just almost right under them, under the black men is the black people. If you're a foundational black American, they seem to have this real vitriol towards them. And so what do you expect? What do you think is going to happen when you put them in the prison system? Because he's going to say something very interesting. And just want to put that in your mind. What do you think will happen when you have all these immigrants? They already some of them programmed, some of them trained. Some of them, when they get over here, they train. Some of them, before they get here, they make sure that their mindset is that of, they don't like the foundational black American. So when they come over, they're ready to go. They're ready to pop. And they put these people in these prison systems and law enforcement on the streets, in the prisons. And so you're going to see how the treatment is going to get towards foundational black Americans. All right. So let me get back to the video, because he's going to say something real interesting. All right. So let's listen in.
So right now, it's 110 units, right? Almost 1.5 million people locked up, right? 100,000, whatever the number may be, right? That's locked up in this system. And now over 75% of the guards are African immigrants from Africa.
Wow. Wow. African immigrants.
African immigrants. They didn't go to the communities that are producing the inmates. This is what I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. They didn't go to the communities that are producing the inmates to give that community jobs. Like, hey, let's give them jobs so they would keep coming here. No, they didn't go to the community that produces the inmates. They went to Africa to bring them in, to give them the jobs that they could have gave to the community that would have prevented the community from robbing, stealing, and taking advantage of people. No, they took those jobs and that money and created an immigration program and brought in Africans. Okay, I haven't been to the continent, but here I am now introduced to Africans as the overseers. And they just as vicious, man. They just as vicious.
All right, you said they just as vicious. Let me put it back a little bit. And the reason being is because when he said they're making them the officers, and back in the day on the plantations, you had what was called the overseers. And there's always this one rap song by KRS-One when he does a play with words and then does it fast and kind of blends the word in or blends it over when he says officer. Overseer, officer, overseer, officer, 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 overseer. Blending the words, the officer is the overseer is the officer. All right, I just thought I'd plant that in your head a little bit to get you thinking. All right, so let's go on and continue. Listen back in.
Well, here I am now introduced to Africans as the overseers. And they just as vicious, man. They just as vicious. Now, this is protect the white man from being overtly racist. Now it's covert, right? Because they'll put an African in front of it. Look, they put somebody that look like me and from the continent that they say that they tortured. Oh man, not only is we helping African Americans, we helping Africans come over here and get a better life. But bringing them from their life to mistreat us here. What does that remind you of? Slave trade. Mm-hmm. Africans sending Africans to America to be mistreated.
And the way a lot of them, you know, tribalism is a big thing on the continent. Exactly. It's huge. So, you know, I've been told by Africans that Black Americans are the most unified group of Blacks in the world.
Correct.
Because on a continent, you know, they will wipe each other out with tribalism. It's been done many times.
Many times.
So bringing in certain handpicked people, because the State Department chooses these people.
Okay.
This is not your, just run the mill person working every day.
Fill out an application.
These people are hand picked to come. I've learned that. I've been told by Africans they go to the U.S. Embassy to try to get even a visa to come. They give their money to U.S. State Department over there at the embassy. They will turn them down and they still have to apply again and keep their money. They won't give them their money back. They literally, like, to me, that's like scamming. Get their money back? Okay, fine. So they handpick certain people. So what's been going on and what we were talking about is they've been using immigration from all these non-white countries to come in to be anti-black racist against black Americans. Because to me, it seemed like they all made a pact with white supremacy. Like, look, you let me over here. Okay, I'll let you, but you got to be an anti-black racist. Either you come from the Caribbean, you come from the continent. Of course, it's not all. It's not all. But they want to make sure to bring a lot of that here. And then that's why some black folks say, I don't want to go to Africa for what? Look at them Africans, how they don't even like me. They more racist against me than freaking
they are very racist in the prison system. Now, I'm not going to say it's all. What I'm going to say is the ones they bring to work in the prison, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, 75% is ran by immigrants from Africa, from different countries in Africa.
Now, he's saying 75% of these immigrants are running the prison systems. I'm assuming that means in Texas. All right, I'm assuming he's talking about in Texas and not throughout the U.S. But who knows? It might be throughout the U.S. And he said these guys are real hard on basically the black Americans, really, in the prison system. And they're taking on the same white supremacist mindset and way of thinking. And like Phil said, a lot of people from Africa would apply to come over, but they get rejected. And then the same people in Africa have to apply over and over again, and they keep getting rejected, and they take their money as well. Part of that, I think Phil is kind of trying to play both sides of the fence. He knows what's going on in America, but then he's kind of having some sympathy or some sympathetics for the Africans as well. If y'all can kind of see that from the video, all right? But Phil is breaking down the truths of about how they treat Americans, but at the same time, it seems like he tries to also cape for them in certain ways. All right? Just thought I'd let you know about that, and we're going to continue playing this video.
They are the guards. They are the racist. I'm gonna say it's all. What I'm gonna say is the ones they bring to work in the prison, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, 75% is ran by immigrants from Africa, from different countries in Africa. They are the guards. They are the racist guards now that run the prison system. They are African men and African women. It is both, and they have been trained to act accordingly. Now, I know you would know that. I know your audience would know that. So listen, they replace Jim Crow white staff with African immigrants. And prison is just as worse.
With the same work, conditions.
Same work, conditions, all that. A couple things changed. They say they don't pick cotton no more. They brought a machine out there to pick it. They had the machine the whole time. The cotton gin machine been invented.
Right.
Yeah, it been invented, right? It just got to where it couldn't be so overt. You know, it couldn't be so in your face. It couldn't be so torturous, right? But they still have whole squads. They still bring them out. They still use free labor to pick and produce corn, okra, all kind of products. Yeah, they still are working on free labor. And African immigrants are the racist guards.
And you know, it's always somebody willing to sell out. Always.
Yeah.
You know definitely. What I'm saying? Like you see, you know, there's other groups like you see like people in the Jewish community, the Asian community, different ones like that. they don't want to sell. They don't sell each other out. Like we just love to. It's like, I don't know what it is with black folk. We have this inherent, like, I don't know, need for validation. So I mean, we are hurting another black person just to do something for them. Right. And it's sick. It's sick. It's like,
now look at him caping now. He's starting to cape. He's starting to go talk about black Americans. And yeah, there are some black Americans. We understand. No one understand. We have some coons here. We get it. But the difference between black Americans and any of the black immigrants throughout the rest of the world is that they don't check their coons. We check ours. All right. We check the coons that are here that are black American. If we find out they coon and they cooning, they get checked in one form or another by one person or more, by one black American or more black Americans. They get called out. That's the difference. But there he goes. He's so willing and ready to tell about what black Americans don't do. And yeah, that's true. We kind of see that. And he says he don't understand it, but it seems like it's really been embedded inside the psyche, the mindset of black Americans. I've always told people, different people over the years, that slavery mindset has really been embedded into the DNA, because you still see remnants of that type of mindset even to in 2023. Just imagine how many years ago slavery was, and how they was programming the mind to dislike young, dislike the old, light skin, dislike the dark skin blacks, so on and so forth. All right, they're gonna treat these light skin ones better. We're gonna put them in the house. The dark skin's gonna be out in the field. All right, so many, and sometimes the women will jump in front of their children and take the beating for their child. And then you see that kind of stuff today. When you watch women today, they'll tell their sons, don't wear a hoodie, don't do this, don't do that. They don't want nobody looking at you like you some type of gangster or you a robber. That's that same embedded mentality that, hey, don't do this, don't do that, because massa gonna whip you. Massa gonna whip you if you don't do this, or you dress like this, massa gonna whip you. That stuff is still in the system. All right, so yeah, what he's saying is correct, but like I said, he tries to seem like he tries to play the fence a lot of times, both sides of the fence. We're gonna let Phil talk. All right, let's play it back.
The black folk, we have this inherent, like, I don't know. Need for validation. So I mean, we are hurting another black person just to do something for them. Right. And it's sick. It's sick. It's like I say, it's all over the black people. It's like I say, and that's why how I feel is, if I even smell that on a person, I can't be around you.
Right.
Because I don't trust you.
Right.
Because some of our greatest enemies will be somebody that look like us. I will say that all day long.
No, definitely. You're more likely to die or be murdered by somebody you know than somebody you don't know, or somebody mm-hmm. that look like you versus somebody that don't look like you. That's just what it is. The problem is that does happen in every culture. Right now, the white people of Russia are killing the white people of Ukraine, right? It happens in every culture, but in our culture, it's so systematic that even if you kill your other brother or kill other black people, you also lose your life. At least when they kill their countrymen or other person, they gain independence or they gain prosperity. When I shoot and kill you, I'm also killing myself.
And you're going to jail.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. Bam, now you gone, I'm gone. Nothing happens. It's just a vicious cycle of violence, of ignorance.
And I want to add something here, because the people who could be watching.
Right.
There's no program in the African continent that's shipping black Americans in to be brutal you know, slave masters, overseers, whatever right. you want to call them, in African jails. We have never done anything like that to nobody. And I have a lot of Africans that watch.
Okay.
And so I would say to them is you see some of the tension that is in a diaspora sometimes. It's because when we see things like this, it's like you, because in their homeland, they wasn't crap anyway, in their homeland.
Right.
So they had to run from their homeland, come over here and be literally the lackeys and lap dogs of white supremacy. This is why a lot of us in Black Americans now are like, yeah, we cool on immigration. We cool on that because we right. realize, based on what you're saying, is even worse than what I already know now. Because you just saw the affirmative action thing. Well, it was the Asians, particularly Chinese immigrants, doing that, attacking affirmative action. Now it's starting to fall back on them because now they're talking about getting rid of a minority grants, scholarships, etc. So it's right. going to hurt them, right? So we're noticing that they're using immigration as a weapon against Black America. And a lot of Black Americans say, yeah, we cool on immigration. Matter of fact, where Trump at? We got to shut this down. We got to stop everybody from coming now. Because like I said, we got enough white supremacists here in America. We don't need to be importing none. I don't care what country they come from. We don't need to be importing none. So I'm like, look.
they have imported them into the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Anybody could look it up. Anybody could do their research. And you have to ask yourself, why would a racist judicial system in the state of Texas, ran by white men, what incentive does these racist white men have to go to Africa and import African immigrants to be prison guards? What incentive does that do to these racist prison owners here in the state of Texas? It couldn't have been to help the inmates.
No. Well, what it is the new strategy of white supremacy is this. I can't keep putting my hands on it because, you know, before the world, everybody see me as a racist. So my new strategy is to use Asians, Arabs, Native Americans, East Indians, Africans, Caribbeans, Latinos, whatever, use them to do my dirty work for me. So then when the backlash come, I didn't have nothing to do with it. That was him.
Another cloak and dagger.
The same systems they've been doing. And that's the strategy now. And that's what we've been seeing. And we've been reporting on this constantly. Yeah, I know it's wicked. It's sick. It's evil. Trust me. That's why I tell people all the time, my time is I'm not going to be here forever. I'm talking about at least in Babylon,
right?
You know, because I'm just happier being away from them. Because at least in the African continent, they don't have mass incarceration. It's non-existent, you know? And so, man, to hear what you went through, brother, whew, and you survived, that's the thing, you survived it. Because a lot of people didn't.
But it wasn't because of prison, right? Then that's what we were saying. I survived it because I realized I wasn't built for that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I wasn't built to be that ignorant, right? I wasn't built to have white men control me or run me and tell me what I could do. I ended up there because I was young, dumb. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So all this gangs, Crips, Bloods, or rap beefs, and all these different, these are levels of ignorance that we got to grow out of. It's different when you are a kid, right? You don't know no better and you have no guidance. But you 40, 35, 40, 50 years old, and you still in a gang? You still a gang member? Come on, man. That means we haven't learned any lessons at this point. It's still cool to sell drugs? Like, you do these things not knowing, but then they burn your hand and you don't touch them no more. But we holding on to the fire all the way to the grave? Like, this is just supreme levels of ignorance, right? That we have to destroy. We have to destroy these narratives even to get to an understanding that, hey, they are shipping people in to keep us at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to we have to shed all these levels. Those are ignorance. And you would think age would do that, but rap music, the culture of the internet, all these different things.
Degenerate culture that we see today.
Degenerate culture keeps things going. This ratchet lifestyle keeps these things going, and people could be toys.
No, he's calling out all these things, talking about the rap music, the this, the that, but he's kind of veering off from the fact that there is a system in place, and he's not really zeroing in on the system that's really causing this stuff to happen. He's blaming like the system is more like the roots, the main tree, and then the branches is the gangs. The branches is the black on black doing this and that. But he's focusing on that, not focusing on the main tree. You know, so he's kind of slipping a little bit off track as well.
Arrest kids now forever. You remember that? Yeah. It's like, I didn't want to grow up.
Yeah.
Because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid. That's what we have. We have Crip Blood Toys R Us kids now.
But when it comes to you, you know, even though you had all this experience, you turned your life around.
I turned my life around.
You know, you family?
Family, married. Two kids, business owner, multiple business, property owner, multiple properties, right? Employer, where I employ people, right? I was able to do all these different things. Now, the one thing that got me here, Phil, and one thing that could get anybody here, right, was reading. Reading changed my life. I'm here to confess, reading changed my life. I got so bored in prison. I stayed in trouble so long that I had the opportunity to read books. And reading books changed my life, right? And that sounds crazy, but think about it. They always said, want to hide something from a black man? Put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying reading, like studying that we would get in school.
Did I just mute myself the whole time? Yep, I muted myself, so my bad. I was just reading this whole article. I think I muted. But I did scroll down, so hopefully you were seeing the words that I was reading. All right, but real briefly, I'm going to say what I was talking about earlier. Like I said, I think I muted myself the whole time. But this picture you're looking at is of John O. and his wife. I just finished reading the article, a little bit of it anyway, how this guy that you see, that you just seen in the picture here, he came from Nigeria, went to LA, became a security guard. He met a pastor that he knew back, apparently from Nigeria. They set him up with a house. Eventually, the guy in the picture you see now, I'm calling him John O. It's a Nigerian name. Let me see if I can pronounce it again. John Oak Purovwi, I think that's how you pronounce it, flew from Lagos, Nigeria, all right, into Boston in September 2008. So I'm going to call him John O. So this John O, you know, came from Nigeria, went to LA, bumped into a pastor he knew already. Pastor set him up with a nice crib. Then John O met a friend, or not met a friend, he knew, apparently knew somebody else who let him know that there was some jobs in corrections in Texas, a part of Texas. He said he went over there, took a chance on it. After a few months, he said the test was pretty easy for the corrections, passed it, and became a correctional officer in the Huntsville, Texas prison. All right. Which is like a town of 30,000 people. And so he was able to get in the prison system. And like I said, the prison systems have replaced the supremacy side, if you will, and just put other black faces in there. But knowing that these black faces coming from Africa don't have the same liking towards black Americans. So they know that they're going to mistreat the black Americans in prison, which is what they wanted to help, you know, wanted to continue. They wanted that type of system to continue on. So that's just who they brought in. All right. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Just to let y'all see what's been going on and how things are taking place and have been taking place. Now you're seeing who's been coming over the border. You know, I've said this before. Hispanics that come over the border and how they're being put in hotels. They're being treated with five-star hotels and you know, five-star eating. So they're living good. There seems to be a pattern here. Are they trying to replace a certain group that's been here from the beginning and kind of in all different situations? The law enforcement system, the political system. Are they really trying to replace a certain group of people? These things are being done right before your eyes, and a lot of people just want to continue to be entertained rather than be informed. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that, man, and let y'all guys marinate on that. And again, have the black immigrants infiltrated the prison system? It looks like they have already. All right. So it's something for you guys to think about and marinate on it. All right. So with that being said, appreciate y'all. I'm going to get out of here. Just wanted to show y'all a few things, something to consider, something to think about. And maybe even something to be prepared for. All right. Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for checking out the show. You know what it is. Thoughts of the Week podcast. I'm out. I'll see y'all guys next week. Peace.
You're rocking with the best. Thank you. Thoughts of the Week podcast.